In today's first reading, we have a prefiguration of the very reason why the Son of God would come into the world. That is, he would come to suffer, but God would spare Abraham's son because it was not the sacrifice ultimately that would be pleasing to the Lord and make reparation for the sin of man. That would have to be done by one who was to come, one who was first told about to our first parents when they were given that great promise of old that God would put enmity between a woman and her seed, that is, between the Blessed Mother and her Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the devil, that is, they would do battle for fallen mankind against all the evil, all our evil inclinations, and all that seeks to keep us from our good God. And so, today we enter into earnest preparation during this season of Lent, and the Church puts before us the Transfiguration so that we may truly come to understand and know our purpose more earnestly. And indeed, the Catholic Encyclopedia defines the real aim of Lent is above all else to prepare men for the celebration of the death and resurrection of Christ. The better the preparation, the more effective the celebration will be. One can effectively relive the mystery only with purified mind and heart. The purpose for Lent is to provide that purification by weaning men from sin and selfishness through self-denial and prayer, by creating in them the desire to do God's will and to make his kingdom come by making it come first of all in their hearts. And so, ultimately, it is the season in which we strive to more earnestly conform ourselves to Jesus Christ. And in the account of the Transfiguration, though there are many errors that are refuted, for the apostles still thought in fleshly way, and so they thought to establish some type of kingdom here on earth. While God's kingdom certainly is here on earth in the Church, it is not of this earth. And ultimately, today's account of the Transfiguration shows us the ultimate purpose of mankind and where his journey should end. And so, St. Peter sought first to build three tents or three tabernacles according to older translations. That is, one for Elijah, one for Moses, and one for the Lord. Or, if we look at it in another way, one for the law, one for the prophets, that is, the law, Elijah, the prophets, Moses, the prophets, Elijah, and the gospel, that is, Christ. But our Lord, in this account, would indicate that the law and the prophets and the gospel cannot be separated, for all that the law and the prophets pointed to are fulfilled in the gospel, and so, ultimately, it is one mystery, and it is fulfilled in Christ. And so, Peter was taught this day never to separate the law and the prophets from the gospel. And so, he still being hemmed in by flesh, thought that the Father's kingdom was an earthly kingdom, but he was taught this day that it was not a kingdom of this earth, for they would have to depart from the mountain so that our Lord would fulfill that which was appointed him to do by the Father. And so Peter also has a fear. He has a fear to come down from the mountain because he has a right presentiment that Christ must be crucified, and perchance that the angry Jews would come for him. Peter wishes to stay on the mountain, for with Moses he has the one who defeated the Egyptians, and with Elijah the one who brought down fire from heaven to destroy 500 men. And so he thought himself safe on the mountain, but the Lord teaches very clearly. He has given this prefiguration of his glorified state in order to strengthen us for the journey, that journey which we strengthen ourselves to fulfill during Lent, because ultimately, to participate in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, we must enter by way of Calvary. We too must seek to be crucified in accord with the dictates that the Lord has laid out for us, that is, by the trials and tribulations he wishes us to bear, not denying our faith, but always taking up the mantle of faith and living according to the teachings of the Lord. And so, we must constantly be on guard, for the world, the flesh, and the devil are always seeking and striving to draw us away, to give us these false understandings that God God's kingdom is of this earth, while it certainly dwells here, it dwells also as a sojourner, for ultimately our Lord wishes to teach us a greater lesson. He took them up after 6 days, so he would point out to us that at the end of the world, which was made in 6 days, Jesus will take us up on a high mountain, that is, into heaven. And so we must constantly strive to enter into the mystery of our life in this world by always having our hearts on the world to come. And then we begin to realize here we are sojourners. In heaven, we attain our peace, we attain our happiness. And so we must constantly be at God, constantly be vigilant. Peter would not have his wishes fulfilled this day, for they were contrary to the will of God, contrary to the will of the Father. For he says very clearly that he is pleased in his Son, and he instructs the apostles, the three primary apostles, Peter, James, and John, he instructs them to do whatever he tells you. These words were also echoed by Our Lady at the wedding feast of Cana, when she too, in accord with the will of the Father, instructs the disciples of Christ to do whatever he tells you. Our Lord tells us not to deny him in this life in order that we may truly have him for all eternity in the life to come. And so let us more earnestly prepare during this season of Lent to enter into that mystery, knowing that we undergo these things not strictly for ourselves, but in order to have empathy with the suffering, the passion, and the death that the Lord would undergo for us. And so, in all things, we seek to imitate Christ, because in all things, we should seek to glorify him in all his mysteries, in his incarnation, in his passion, and in his death. And so we will ultimately come to fulfill that which St. Paul says of us as members of his body. We make up what was lacking in the suffering of Christ in our own flesh, not because the Lord lacked anything in his suffering, but he so ordained that weak human beings unite themselves to him, unite their sufferings to him, so that they may perpetuate the mystery of redemption until the end of time in his body. And so let us always be aware, as St. Leo the Great would tell us, to be aware of the dignity we have being Christians. We are his body, and so we must suffer with him in this life in order that we may be resurrected with him in the life to come.
Fructum ventris tuum.